You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Well, actually, you can just turn one and I'll read you the other one. I want you to go to Job chapter 1. But in Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Verse 5, "But unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now, I want you to notice how God listed it in the Word of God. God deals with the man, and then he deals with the sacrifice. Did you read it? "But unto Cain and to his offering." He said, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering." But see, there's a lot of times we as humans, we get it backwards. We want God to bless our offering, then turn and bless us. But he scrutinizes us and he goes over us. And he finds what's wrong with us first, then he looks at our offering. Are you following me? It said, "The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, and he had no respect unto Cain and his offering." Now, for years I've heard it preached, well, the Lord rejected Cain's offering. That's not so. The Lord rejected Cain. His offering was a reflection of his inward attitude. Amen? He had no respect unto Cain and his offering. In John 8:43, the Bible says, "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Let's pray. Lord, right now, God, I want you to touch your people, Father. Lord, there's nothing I can do to give them ears to hear. But Lord, I pray, Father, that they uncap their ears this morning, that they get a hold of you. I believe you sent me here with a word for your people. God, touch them, direct them, guide them. Help them to hear your voice, Father, and apply it to their life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said, there's a lot of people that have had surgery and been out with sickness. I want you to pray for them this week. Call out Renovate Life in your prayer time. Now, there's a lot of things I'm going to address this morning. I want everybody to say, the devil is a liar.
The devil is
a liar. Hell is a liar.
Hell is a liar.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't mean a thing. I've had people call me a liar. They didn't change me one bit. Well, that guy's a liar. Didn't alter my character, didn't alter my nature, didn't alter the way I did things. I mean, I don't want to hear it, but it didn't change me. If you tell the devil today that he's a liar, he doesn't care. That's where the church is. It ain't going to stop him from working. It has no ill effect on him. He's not going to change the way he does things because he already knows that he's a liar. Now, remember what they said when we were kids? Sticks and stones shall break my bones, but what? Names will never hurt me. So what I'm going to talk to you tonight about, or this morning about, is proving the devil a liar. When you come to the Lord, when you got Jesus and his salvation, you're proving the devil a liar. When you do something crazy and idiotic, you're not proving anything. You're calling the devil a liar, and he's like, well, look at you. But when you do what you're supposed to do and you follow the word of God and you do what God told you to do in his word, you're proving that the devil is a liar. And you're proving that it don't matter if he's the father of it, that your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold and the silver in him, them, and you're going to serve him. Amen? I'm just getting started. Job 1:6-8. Now there was a day when the sons of God came. Now listen, just listen to this, okay? There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Why? Because he works for Jesus. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Hell's got a reply. Hell's always got a reply. When you say, "God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to live for you, I'm going to do everything I can for you," hell's going to say, "Watch this." You hear me? Why? Because the devil is painted a target on the Christian believer's back. Not on the religious. He don't care about the religious, because the religious, all they got is words. But on you, he has painted a target. And he wants everything to take you down. And he's going to work against you as long as you're following the Lord. I want to prove the devil a liar. Do you want to prove him a liar? Now watch hell's reply. Verse 9-11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands." My goodness, this is talking about Christian people. "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Satan says, "Take away his toys, take away his trinkets, take away his blessing, take away everything you give him, and he'll curse you." And God said, "Listen, you might think that you're speaking truth, but the only truth you're speaking is two truths, because you're a liar. And I'm going to tell you that I've got this man named Job that's going to, listen, make you look stupid." We need to make the devil look stupid. We need to stand up and prove that he is a liar. So the liar is talking to truth. Are you ready for some more scripture? "Well, Pastor, I'd rather you preach." Well, I'd rather read scripture. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." All that, boy, that's a revelation. "Only upon himself put forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, this revelation that you get in verse 12 is powerful. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." You know what that means, church? That God held the power before. We think Satan holds the power, but he don't have any power. God allows him to come against you. He allows him to work. He allows him to come against your family. And if we declare the name of Jesus, we can call on the Lord, and he'll shut the Satan's power off. Boy, that's good. Satan has no power. But then he goes into this trial, verse 20 and 21. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh, in all things, we got to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I don't know what kind of Christian you are, but when I got things going bad in my life, I'm going to stand and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know why? Because I've proved him. You know why? Because he's blessed me when I shouldn't have been blessed. You know why? If he took it, he gave it to me anyway. Everything that I have is his. Job 1:22, "Man, the devil came against him. In all this, Job sinned not, nor changed God, or charged God foolishly." Now, chapter 1 closes, and chapter 2 opens. "Again, there was a day when the Son of God came to present." So this is time number 2. Notice that Satan has to meet there. He meets with God every morning. They have a cup of coffee, and God says, you're not allowed to do this, and you're not allowed to do this, and you're dumb, and you can't do this, and you have no victory, and you have no power, and you, I want that crumpet this morning. You can't have it. Now, we act like he's some kind of all-in-control person, but that's just simply not true. And how do we know? Because Job's story is a plethora of information of godly understanding. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Satan came. What's up, Jesus? And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Where you been? And Satan answered the Lord real nonchalant and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, again, he said it again. You know why he said it a second time? Because Satan couldn't get to Job the first time. He said, you wanted to see if you could cause him to yell in my face and curse me to my face. He said, but have you considered my servant Job? What he's saying is, devil, you're a liar and you have no power. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him. Who moved? Satan. Not really. God did. Watch this. And escheweth evil, and still holdeth fast in integrity. Although thou movest me against him. God's speaking to Satan. He says, you're trying to get me to come against him, but he has such integrity. He says, you're coming against him to destroy him without cause. Now listen to the liar. He responds, Job 2, verse 4 and 6. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea. All that a man hath will be given for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch thine bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto him, behold, he is in thy hand. I'm giving you Job. You can take everything from him, or the Bible says, but save his life. Verse 9, Job's going through it. I don't think if God put us through the things he put Job through, we probably wouldn't be Christian. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Man, that sounds like the devil. Curse God and die. What stupid lady. That's stupid times 10. She said, you still got your integrity? Just give it over. Let the devil have it. Curse God and die. That's the devil working? Oh my God. Verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest one of a foolish woman. Speaketh what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. I present to you a powerful opportunity. You are called to prove the devil a liar. Satan is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of it. He couldn't tell the truth standing on a Bible looking at Jesus. There's no truth in him, the Bible says. The scripture starts in this beautiful story saying that he came among the sons of God. And he begins to speak to the Lord. And God says, where you been? Say that, oh. Now, he's just real nonchalant about it like it's his daily job. You got to catch it. Ah, I've just been amongst the earth. Like it's not no big deal. Just laid back with his mind on his money and his money on his mind. Oh, I got you there. Hello, church. Didn't mean to wake you all up at once. He said, I've been in the earth. Now watch what he's been doing. I've been just kind of moseying around. He's a lying dog. I just been kind of walking up and down the earth, just checking things out. Liar. As if he wasn't paying attention to everything you were doing. As he wasn't trying to wreck your marriage and wreck your life and wreck your children. And that's what he does when he's walking about to and fro. That's why, listen, when he's been released on this earth, that's what he's doing. The spirit of this world is walking about seeking whom it may devour. And he answers God with his dirty, filthy, lying lips. And he begins to talk. But God knows better. And God proves it to him. He says, once again, have you considered my man Job? Hell's reply was so fast that the wind nearly knocked the throne room back. Because Satan can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. Now, I want to teach you something this morning. Sometimes I get to preaching and I miss a couple things. If you study the word considered, and God used it several times concerning Job, it doesn't just mean have you looked. We think, well, have you looked upon him? But the original Hebrew text, it actually means have you scrutinized him? Have you tore him apart? Have you looked at every fiber of his being? Have you studied him? Have you studied his actions? Have you studied his makeup? Have you studied what he does? Have you studied when he gets up in the morning? Have you studied him? Do you know everything about him? Hear me now. The devil is studying you. Every time you do something crazy and he thinks he can get in there, he's going to write it down. He's going to listen. He knows everything about you. He knows every fiber of your being. He knows every thought in your mind. Listen, that's why the devil wars in the mind, because he wants to take you down, and he knows what works. He's interested in what you do and your reaction. Why, Pastor? He hates your guts. Why? Because you're a child of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Have you considered my servant Job? We read in Genesis chapter 4. Or we read it so that you would understand that it's possible for a man or woman to be respected by God. Abel was respected by God. His offering was respected by God. A man and woman can live by principle and precept. They can literally live accepted by God. Don't you understand? It's possible to live with the respect of God in your life. And when the respect of God is in your life, you'll go places you never would have gone before. You'll speak to people that you would have never been able to speak to before. Are you understanding what I'm saying, church? I want the respect of God in my life. Well, how do I do it? You got to prove him a liar. Now, the Bible says he didn't respect Cain. Why? He had a stinking attitude. He had a stinking atmosphere. But he respected Abel because Abel had a humble heart. God will respect you even though that you're not perfect, because as long as we're on this earth, we'll never be perfect. He respects those that try. He respects those that want to hear from him. He respects those that want to bow down before him. And when you do that, here he comes. He said, have you looked at my man Job? Now listen, hell's talking about you. And hell knows who you are. Do you hear me? I don't care if you're on this side of Jesus or that side of Jesus. Hell knows who you are. God wants to give you an understanding that he blesses you and protects you and provides for you and he hedges you. How do we know that? Because he said to the Lord, Satan said to the Lord, he will curse you if you take away your blessing, if you take away your protection, if you take away the hedge that you put around him. I'm going to tell you right now, hell is outspoken about us. And Satan just didn't stand there. He talked about Job. He wants to talk about you. Listen, he wants to burn up the phone line about how messed up you are, just like those people out in the world. Don't you think that they're not affected by Satan when they call and say, did you see what so-and-so did? Have you seen what the pastor's kids did today? Have you seen what the pastor's children? Oh my goodness, did you see the pastor's wife, how she was dressed? Did you see what was going on? Those people are affected by Satan, and we've got to prove him a liar. He's got you in his sights. The devil's gunning for you. Do you believe that? He's studying every crack and every crevice, every part of your spiritual makeup. He wants to find your Achilles heel, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family, destroy your household. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Are you hearing me? This is deep. It's very deep. He's a liar. You've got the greatest privilege that earth has ever been provided to make Satan a liar, to prove him a liar. Do you hear me, church? The devil is a liar, but we can talk about him all day. We can call him a liar. We can call him filthy. We can call him an ugly, nasty carcass, but those words ain't going to hurt him. How do I show that he's a liar? I stand up under the precepts and the word of God. I bind it about my heart that I might not sin against him. Are you following what I'm saying? The way that you prove the devil a liar is that you prove that the king of Judah is the center of your attention. It's the household of your being. Do you understand who I am? Oh, I'm a child of the king. You're a liar. It's not about calling the devil a liar. The privilege comes in proving that he's a liar. You can put somebody on trial. You can have all the evidence in the world against them. You can say, this dirty, filthy rat did this, and I've got this evidence, and I've got that evidence. But I'm telling you this, if you can't prove that he's a liar, he's going free. I'm telling you right now, we've got to prove the devil is a liar. You've got to prove he's a liar in your own heart before you can prove he's a liar in the house of God. Just sit there and act like I'm not talking to you. But I am talking to you. Sometimes we can't handle the evidence in the world against us. We can be guilty. But I want you to understand, when you proclaim the name of Jesus and you begin to change who you are, you're proving that the devil has no hold over you. Therefore, he's a liar. Satan made a statement. This statement is the same statement that he's made about us multiple times. He said, the only reason that Job fears you is because you've blessed him. The only reason that he hates evil is because you have fellowship with him. You hear me? The grounds for your relationship is because you've given him things. That's the same thing he says about you and I. The grounds for our relationship is because you're a genie in a bottle. And you're giving these people these trinkets, and they come to the house of God for your blessing, and they come because you'll touch them, and they come because you might heal their cancer. And see, God don't do might. We might get healed. I'm sick of might, because you're never going. Listen, no, don't clap. I don't want to hear you clap until I get done. If we always say might, he might help us. He might move on us. He might direct us. Then we're going to get what we ask for. He might move along, or he might walk on by you, because he wants to see the person that believes without a shadow of a doubt, when nobody can help them, when the doctor can't help them, that they are going to stand on the word of God. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to believe that God's going to do it. Take away his toys, he'll curse you to your face. That's what the liar said. But God had such confidence in Job that Satan comes back and he says, oh, have you considered him? Have you looked at him? Can you imagine how stupid he felt? Because he had already tried and he failed. And God says, oh, but I got this man. And they're sipping on their sweet tea. I got this man. And the devil says, who is it? And he says, Job. Well, I already tried with him. What the Lord was doing is saying, he's my man. I want to try again. Sometimes when hell comes against you, Sometimes when the storms of life beat you down, oh, I'm talking to somebody this morning. God is standing in heaven and saying, that's my man. That's my woman. That's my child of God. Oh, you look at them. Although the winds are beating them down and they don't know what to do, they're standing on the promises of God. All they got is my promise. But look at how they stand. Look at how they sway with the wind. They're not going down because they know I'm their strength. I'm their healer. I'm their deliverer. The devil said, take away his toys. We've seen millions of people that have fallen because they come to the house of God and they get right for the blessing of God. And the Holy Ghost falls on them. They may even get dunked in a bucket of water. But when they come up, they're the same. And when the devil comes against them, they leave the house of God. Why? Because they never understood that Satan's going to come against them. And Satan's trying to prove that God is a liar, but he'll never be a liar. This is the majority of the human race. Their relationship with God is built on what can God do for me? Man, that's stupidity. In television and radio and literature, we put all this media out telling people, God will bless you. God will heal you. God, come to the house of God. That's so dumb. That's a very bad portrayal of Christianity. But we're doing it all over this nation. Because what we're saying is, come to our genie in our bottle. Come to this thing that we've created, because I'm telling you, God's not going to do it for you when you start acting like that. It's like we've created this Christian utopia on earth. That's why people get so devastated. They get the Holy Ghost, they get baptized, and then the first time that something happens, they can't handle it. And they lose their Christianity because the church is telling them a lie. Oh, that's deep. If you're going to come to God, I want you to know that you're joining an army. Yeah, you're fixing to do some spiritual battle. You're fixing to get some wounds. You're fixing to have the enemy come against you. You're fixing to go through some warfare. There's some power in what God is doing. You've joined the army of God, so he's given you power. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to get scratches and your knees aren't going to get bruised up and you're not going to get stabbed or wounded. You've got to stand with the army of God. You've got to meet before the commander of the throne and say, God, I'm bruised and I'm battered and I'm calling upon you. I've got to change my mouth. I've got to change my atmosphere. I got to change my attitude. And the only way I can do that is prove that Satan is a liar. The king and captain of Zion comes to live in your heart, and you're given strength and power against the evil one. What is God saying? Satan, you're a liar. Satan says, many only serve you for what you give them. Now, Pastor, why are you preaching all this? Well, concerning the nation of Israel, the Bible says that in Israel only walked with God in the wilderness when the water flowed. Think about it. God says, Satan, you're a liar. And his people, his chosen ones, walk with him. The minute that they have problems with their food, problems with their resources, what's the first thing they do? Let's go back. Why? Their relationship was contingent upon being on God being their sugar daddy, on God being their genie. Now follow me. The minute that they got hungry and they're out in the middle of the wilderness, they said, let's kill this preacher. I've been there. The minute Pharaoh chases their hide and they're up against the Red Sea, and he says, let's kill everybody that names themselves an Israeli. They said, no, we'll come back. I'm Egyptian. That's what they did. Now we're called to stand for God, and the devil is coming after you, and he's got you pinned against the Red Sea. What are you going to do? Are you going to start dressing like an Egyptian? Or are you going to stand for the power of God, even though it looks like hell's going to rain down on you? Now, you have to understand, you have to be kind when you're judging Israel. Because the picture of Israel is one of a spiritual baby. A baby that their relationship is built on things. It's built on trinkets. It's built on what God can give them. Listen, what if they're looking for the Messiah? What can God give me? You follow me? It's a baby relationship. It's only in maturity. Now I'm talking to you. You know what's going on in Israel? You better wake up. It's only at maturity that you trade your trinkets and your toys and your things for the reality of the presence of God. Oh, you better start. Well, God, I don't need a brand new razor. I need Jesus. Lord, I'm willing to trade in my golf clubs for a little touch from Jesus. You better start acting like that, because I'm telling you, the Bible's being fulfilled before your very eyes, and the church has been lulled to sleep. Why? Because we're worried about what God can give us, but I'm worried about proving that Satan is a liar. The issue surrounding Israel is that God, in his infinite wisdom, is going to force Israel to stand up. This issue that we see with Hamas and even Hezbollah this morning has always been set on the timeline of God. We didn't change nothing. You're not going to change anything. This issue is on the timeline of God. It's moving fluently how God sees it moving. As believers, we understand that we should be looking for the Psalms 83 war. You know that, right? The Bible, that's not here yet. But when they attack Israel and they start killing people in the streets, you better look for it. That's never happened. And the Bible says when we see Israel, let's just read it. You got that back there? Luke 21:20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies. Now, I've talked to some people this morning. I didn't see this. But they said that they have all Hezbollah and Hamas are camped around about Jerusalem. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. It means coming upon, right here. Not coming, it's here. As Gentile believers, you better get excited. Don't be afraid. If you're afraid, then you're proving the devil's right. But I'm going to prove him a liar. You ready? You ready? Luke 21:28. Write these down. Go home and study. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but your redemption draweth nigh. We're right there at the gates of the city. Jesus is about to sound the trumpet. I'm telling you, you can't wait to prove Satan a liar. You've got to do it right now. Well, he's my genie in a bottle. He's my candy man. He's my sugar daddy. I got a great analogy for that. I have two nieces. And as long as I got something for them, they're my best friend. I've got some kids at the church. You know, when new kids come to the church, they fill my pockets full of candy. You know why? Because when that new, I may not be able to get to mom and dad. By the time they leave here, they're mad. I've said something to set them completely off. But I can get that baby. One life saver. That's why we use those. What color you like, baby? I like green. If I got two green, they get both. If I got 16 green, I'll fill up their backpack. Because that kid's going to go home and he's had an encounter. She's had an encounter. And she's going to say, I want to go back there. She's just a baby. She just wants toys and trinkets and what I can give them. But as long as she's saying to mom and dad, who's mad because I said get right or go to hell, they're going to say, can we go to that church? Hey, can we go to that church? Now, I've noticed something. Last couple weeks, I ain't had no lifesavers. I only had one baby this morning. I got to get me some lifesavers. You better get yourself a lifesaver. His name is Jesus. We better prove that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We better prove that the devil's a liar. Help me, Jesus. Hell is saying that the only reason we serve God is for what God does for us. Have I said that yet? Yeah, you've said it like 6 times. Can we get this thing moving? Listen to me. God is going to make Israel stand up and prove Satan is a liar. I'm here to tell you, hell, you're a liar. Satan, you're a liar and the father of it. Some of you need to declare over your life, Satan is a liar. Some of you need to declare over your marriage, Satan is a liar. Some of you need to declare over your household, Satan is a liar. I declare and I prove the name of Jesus. I'm about done. I know you can handle me in small doses. God can take everything I got, yet will I serve him. I'm going to prove Satan is a liar. Yet will I praise him. Yet will I worship him. Yet will I lift him up. Yet will I magnify him. I'm going to prove that Satan is a liar. It's not going to be easy. There's days it's going to be hard. But I'm telling you this, if you'll prove that Satan is a liar, if you'll get into the Word of God, and listen, you don't have to read what you don't know. Just read what you know, because the Bible is a light unto your path. It is a light unto your walkway. Help me, Jesus. Too many people's relationship with God is attached to their things. I counsel enough ding-a-lings to know. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that we were counseling. Ever since they said this, Brother Demel, ever since I started living for God, I've been having problems. No way. You must be the only one. Let me get with the other church people. You're doing something wrong. I'm sorry. You think we haven't had problems before? I say, oh, this is the good one. With what? Everything. No way. You're the only one. Because when you serve God, the devil's going to bring everything down on you. No, you don't get it. The thing that you don't feel like you have to guard because you're good at is the thing he's going to try to take away from you. Well, I'm good. Watch this. I'm a good counselor. I'm good at putting marriages back together. I'm good at doing this. The next thing you know, the pastor's having an affair with the person that he's good at counseling with. Why? Because the devil is after you. He wants to prove that God's a liar. Hell is outspoken about you. God help me. Well, pastor, why are you outspoken? Because hell is outspoken about you. He says your platform. Now I'm going to move along. I'm almost done, but I want you to come back tonight. I don't know how to get you here, and I don't have some kind of CIA agents to get you back. But I'm telling you, come to the house of God tonight. The problem hell has is that it does not fare well with the faithful. Hell has a problem forecasting against the faithful folks. Hell wants to take them down, but see, they're like Job. Whatever you take from me, Lord, you already gave me that, so I'm going to be at church on Sunday night. Well, you took my mommy and you took my daddy. You know, that's how we talk here in MacArthur, mommy and daddy. They took my mommy, Lord, and you took my daddy, Lord, and I'm not making fun. He took my daddy too. And then we get down and we get broken. And we take our bed. But the faithful come to the house of God. And they say, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. I'm on your side, Lord, no matter what. You can take everything I've got. See, Israel will come to the place where they say, Lord, you can take everything that I have as long as I can prove that the devil is a liar. When you're faithful, the devil doesn't have enough power to shut your mouth. When you're faithful, hear me. A lot of people pretend to live by faith, but they really don't. But the faithful, they look like Job looked. He had stuff all over him. He didn't look like somebody that you could gain any information from. Boils were cracking out on his body. He didn't feel good. He didn't look good. He had to bust a pot up to scrape the pus out. And his wife said, you look so terrible. You think you got integrity? Give it up. And he said, you're a stupid woman. I love the Lord. I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to be on the Lord's side. I'm going to prove that the devil is a liar. Now, what did Satan take from him? And I'm telling you, I'm just cracking the surface. Satan killed his donkeys. He stole his camels. He took all of his real estate. Job was a rich man. And the most important thing is he killed his children. The next morning, Job gets up and he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Watch this. I don't know if some of us could do this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to hear me, Satan. You're a liar. That's what Job said. I can't do it in words. I can't. I got to do it in deed. I got to do what the Word of God tells me to do. You following me? Listen, the world is going to erode your faith. The world is going to tell you that you didn't get what you got. The world is going to say it's okay not to be as faithful as you used to be. It's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. Here's the thing. You fill in the blank what you have decided that is okay. I'm going to tell you, you are proving that Satan is right. I'm here to prove that he's a liar. Have you considered my servant Job? Oh, I'm almost done. I'm going to try one more time. You ready? Simon, Simon. Oh, this is one of my favorite stories. Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. This is the Lord speaking. But I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. We're living in a time where new converts and old converts are coming to a place where their faith has failed. He said, Peter, I'm going to pray that your faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, when your mind is changed, strengthen the brethren. Satan's been down to the bookie. He's betted against you 10 to 1. Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you. You're going to forsake me, Peter. Listen, you're going to come against me. You're going to fail me. You're going to sin. You're going to lie, Peter. But I've prayed for you. My mercy and my grace is sufficient. Don't you forget it when you get there. Don't forget it when you get numb. Don't forget it when you feel like this Christian life is a waste of time. Don't forget it when your body feels bad. Don't forget it, Peter, when you can't take another step. Just remember that your faith, I'm praying for it, Peter, that it does not fail, that there's nothing that can come against you because I am your God and I am your Lord. Peter, you've seen me do the miracle. You've seen me do the right thing. Peter, you've seen me walk on water. Oh my goodness. Peter, I called you out there with me. Don't let your faith fail. Jesus, help me. So Peter, when you come to your senses, because there's going to be times, I'm going to send an angel to you. I'm going to send an angel, Peter, and you're going to come to your senses. And when you do, show that the devil is a liar. Peter, I don't want you to call him a liar. I want you to prove that he's a liar. I wonder what the devil said to the Lord right when he saw Peter lie. Right when he saw Peter curse. Peter said, I don't know him. And he didn't do it one time. He did it three. I don't know that cat. Who is that? And then he cussed the third time. Why? Because he was saying, I'm like you. But he had been changed. He had been rearranged. The problem was they had ripped the master right out of his arms and he didn't know what to do. Sometimes you're going to feel like Jesus has been ripped away from. The ceilings are brass. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Keep on moving forward in faith because the Lord has prayed for you. In the spiritual, God is working. When you're down to nothing, oh, God's up to something. I'm telling you right now, we need to move in the spiritual. We need to contend for our faith. You're a warrior. I'm almost done. Satan said, is that the guy that you gave the kingdom to? Is that the guy you've got slated to preach for you on Pentecost? That's your guy? And the Lord says, go on down there and tell Peter that I prayed for him and I love him. Peter, if you'll just repent. Peter, if you'll just give me your life back, you'll prove that the devil is a liar. God, help us to repent. God, help us to prove that Satan is wrong. Prove it in every day. In my everyday walk with you, prove it, Lord. Help me to prove it. Help me to call on you. Help me not to be lax. Help me when it doesn't go my way, I'm calling on you, God. It was Peter that repented and stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost. What was Peter doing? He knew what it was to be down. He knew what it was to be broken. He knew what it was to speak against Jesus. And so when he got the chance to stand to prove that the devil was a liar, he proved it with all faith and fervor and fire. You're living. Oh, Pastor, we say it all the time. The Bible says that. You were saying that before our fathers' fathers fell asleep. This day is not coming. It's here. Everybody stand with me. When you call on the name of Jesus, when you believe that he works, you're saying the devil is a liar. The proof is in your salvation. The proof is in your faithfulness. God puts a great premium on faithfulness. You're a liar, Satan. Right now, Jesus. Lord, if you'll just close your eyes, church. Don't worry about the person next to you. Maybe that you've succumbed to the weight of the enemy. But today you're going to say, I'm going to prove you, Lord. How easy was it for Peter to say, God, forgive me. I wronged you. I didn't do it right. God, right now, there's people sitting in this church service. There's people sitting in this online group that feel like I can't get back to the Lord. But all you got to do is repent. When you repent and change your way, you're proving that Satan is a liar. Oh, God, I want to prove that you're righteous and mighty and holy. I want to prove that you've set me apart for a time such as this. God, speak to me. Give me godly direction and understanding. Right now's the time, church.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.